All right, so let's jump right in. We're looking at UBS, right? This huge global financial powerhouse. And they're asking for this exemption, this permission, basically, to handle something that I think is pretty important to most of our listeners, retirement funds.
Yeah, and this request, it's raising some eyebrows, let's just say.
Yeah, eyebrows, right?
Right.
Because it's not exactly like they've got a perfect track record.
Yeah, bumps in the road, you could say.
A few bumps, yeah. More like a demolition derby from what I saw in these documents. But before we get into all of that, let's back up a bit for our listener. What's the deal with this exemption? Why does UBS, this massive financial institution, need permission to manage retirement funds? I mean, it's not like they're just starting out, right?
Right, so it all comes down to this thing called a QPAM. Stands for Qualified Professional Asset Manager.
Catchy.
Right, super catchy. But it's actually a pretty important concept. Basically, think of it this way. You wouldn't want your doctor also owning the only pharmacy in town, would you?
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Conflict of interest.
Exactly, you got it. You'd always be worried, like, are they prescribing me this because it's what I need or because they make a bigger profit?
Right. You want to be sure they're looking out for your best interests, not just their bottom line.
Exactly. And QPAMs, they're there to prevent that same kind of conflict of interest, but with your retirement savings. It's all about making sure the people managing those huge retirement funds, and we are talking billions and billions of dollars here, are playing by the rules, acting in the best interests of the people whose money it actually is.
So it's a safeguard, a way to make sure everyone's being ethical and above board when it comes to, well, our futures.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. But here's where UBS's request gets really, well, interesting, you could say.
Interesting, huh?
Well, let's just say they've had a few incidents,
Incidents.
activities maybe, that could disqualify them from this whole QPAM status.
Activities, right. So what did UBS do? And why are we only talking about this now, years later, in the context of retirement funds?
So UBS is basically saying, hey, look, that was then, this is now. We've learned from our mistakes.
Learn from their mistakes. Well, we've got the documents right here, and it sounds like they've got a lot to learn from.
Yeah, we're talking billions of dollars, potential global impacts.
Yeah, billions. This isn't exactly small potatoes, right? So, what's their argument? Why should they still be allowed to manage these retirement funds?
They're saying that losing this exemption, it would be a huge financial blow, not just to them, although I'm sure they're concerned about that, but also to their clients.
So they're saying if they can't manage these funds, it could actually hurt the people they're supposed to be protecting.
That's their argument. They're saying it could disrupt the market, cost their clients money.
Cause unnecessary chaos, basically.
Exactly. And they're
Yeah.
basically saying, look, we messed up, we know that, but denying this exemption, that'll do more harm than good. But of course, that's just one side of the story.
Right, because I'm sure there are plenty of people and organizations who would say, hold on a minute, that's a pretty convenient argument. But before we get into those arguments against giving UBS this exemption, let's take a closer look at those mistakes, shall we? Because I think mistakes might be a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, understatement might be putting it lightly.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like forgetting to carry the one here. UBS is asking to be let off the hook for not one, not two, but five different convictions. And we're
Yeah.
talking about over a decade, like a greatest hits album of financial scandals.
Five convictions. Okay, now I understand why you said demolition derby earlier. So let's break these down. What exactly did UBS do?
All right, buckle up. This is where it gets juicy. Our first stop takes us all the way back to 2013, UBS Securities Japan. That's the subsidiary we're talking about here. They got caught manipulating this key interest rate, something called LIBOR.
LIBOR, right. And for those of us who don't work in finance, what exactly is LIBOR and why should we care if someone's messing with it?
So LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate, it's this benchmark interest rate. And it affects a lot, like way more than people realize.
Yeah.
Mortgages, credit card rates, even these really complex financial instruments that most of us have no clue about.
So when a bank manipulates LIBOR, what are they actually doing?
They're basically rigging the system, tilting the scales in their favor.
All right.
Think about it like this. If you're playing a game and someone secretly changes the rules to make sure they win, that's not exactly fair, is it?
Definitely not. So UBS Securities Japan was convicted of essentially cheating the system to make themselves more money. And I'm guessing this wasn't like a few bucks here and there, right? We're talking serious cash.
Oh, yeah, we're talking trillions of dollars in transactions.
Yeah.
Trillions with a T. And UBS, they had to pay a massive fine, like eye-watering amounts of money. It was a huge scandal.
So that's one conviction down, and it sounds like a big one, but you said there are four more. What happened next?
Right. So our next stop on this world tour of UBS controversies takes us to 2014. And this time, it involves Credit Suisse Group AG.
Credit Suisse, isn't that?
The bank that UBS later acquired. You got it. And get this, they were found guilty of helping U.S. taxpayers evade taxes.
Wow, okay. So we've gone from manipulating interest rates to good old-fashioned tax evasion, two very different crimes, but both with the potential to do some serious financial damage. And it makes you wonder, right, what's going on within these organizations that this kind of behavior is allowed to happen not just once, but twice.
It really makes you wonder. And it gets even more interesting because, believe it or not, we're only two convictions in, and we haven't even gotten to the accusations of, well, let's just say missing public funds.
Wait, missing as in?
As in allegedly helped disappear. And not just small amounts either. We're talking about potentially millions of dollars that were supposed to help people.
Okay, now you've really got my attention. This is starting to sound less like a financial podcast and more like an episode of a true crime thriller. And we'll get into all of that right after this.
Missing is a nice way to put it.
But... yeah.
So remember UBS Securities Japan, the ones with the whole LIBOR scandal back in 2013?
How could I forget? That was quite a story.
Well, get this. Fast forward to 2017, and guess what?
Don't tell me. They got in trouble for LIBOR manipulation again.
Bingo. You got it. Same crime, different year. It's like, did nobody learn anything the first time around? It's not just a few bad apples at this point, right? It makes you wonder about the whole orchard.
Oh, right. What's going on inside UBS that this kind of thing could happen twice? It's a bit mind-boggling, but it doesn't end there, right? There's more.
Oh, there's always more. So next up, 2019. UBS France, this time, convicted of tax fraud and money laundering.
Wow, okay. So we've got rate manipulation, tax evasion, money laundering. It's like a greatest hits album of financial misconduct. But that last conviction you mentioned, the one with Credit Suisse and the whole missing funds thing, that one sounds especially, well, shady, like something out of a movie.
It's a whole thing. But it really gets to the heart of why some people are really worried about UBS asking for this exemption. There's this group, the QPM Coalition, and they're not mincing words. They're leading the charge against UBS, and they point to this case of a Kenyan businessman, Deepak Kamani. They say he used Credit Suisse accounts to move millions of dollars in stolen public funds.
Okay, so we're not talking about, like, skimming a little off the top here. We're talking about money that was supposed to go towards schools, hospitals, infrastructure, stuff that really makes a difference in people's lives. And they're saying Credit Suisse helped funnel that money into secret accounts.
That's their allegation. And it gets worse. They also link Credit Suisse to this whole Kenyan Eurobond scandal, which is a whole other can of worms. But basically more allegations of hiding money, shady dealings. You get the picture.
It's starting to feel like a broken record here, isn't it? Like, at what point do you say enough is enough?
Right. And that's exactly what the QPM Coalition is saying. They're like, this isn't just a few isolated incidents. This is a pattern of behavior, a blatant disregard for ethics.
So we have UBS over here, this giant in the finance world, and they've got this, well, let's say, colorful history. How do they defend themselves? What are they saying to all of this?
So they're fighting back, right? They're trying to salvage their reputation, trying to convince everyone that, yeah, they made some mistakes, but those are in the past.
Yeah.
They're saying these convictions, they're isolated incidents, totally unrelated to their ability to handle retirement funds responsibly.
Okay, so they're saying, trust us, we've changed.
Basically. They're saying they've got these new super-duper compliance measures in place to prevent any more, you know, misunderstandings.
Okay, so let's talk about those compliance measures. What have they actually done to clean up their act? And is it enough? Because, I mean, we're talking about a decade of scandals here.
Right. It's a lot to erase. So they're pointing to these independent audits, but saying these audits prove how committed they are to doing things by the book now. They're talking about tighter internal controls, better due diligence, employee training, the whole nine yards.
So a whole bunch of corporate jargon that basically means we promise we'll be good.
Pretty much. But the QPM Coalition, they're not buying it. Not even a little bit.
So what are they saying?
They're saying, nice try, UBS, but this isn't going to cut it. You don't just get to throw some money at a problem and call it a day. They're arguing that UBS has a fundamental problem, a culture of putting profits before people, and a few compliance programs aren't going to change that.
So it's UBS's word against the QPM Coalition's word. And in the middle, we have the Department of Labor, who has to decide who to believe. What a mess. What are the factors they're considering in this decision? And what could this mean for, well, everyone? For our listener who's probably wondering what's going to happen to their retirement funds and all of this.
So the Department of Labor, they're in a tough spot. They have to weigh the potential economic consequences of saying no to UBS against, well, the ethical implications of saying yes. It's a delicate balancing act. There's a lot riding on this.
It's a real standoff, isn't it? You've got UBS over here saying, we're too big to fail. If you don't give us this exemption, the whole system could go haywire.
Right, like a financial earthquake.
Exactly. And then you've got the QPM coalition basically saying, hold on, you can't just throw money at a problem and expect it to go away. Who's right?
That's the million-dollar question. And there's no easy answer.
Mm-mm.
It really highlights how tricky it is to regulate these massive global financial institutions. Where do you draw the line? How do you balance the potential economic fallout with, you know, basic ethics?
Right, because the Department of Labor can't just ignore the fact that UBS is a major player in the financial markets.
Exactly. And they haven't. They've actually acknowledged that, yeah, denying this exemption could cause some serious waves. It could disrupt the markets. It could even end up hurting the very investors UBS is supposed to be protecting.
So they're listening to UBS. They get it. But are they just going to give them a free pass? What else are they thinking about as they make this decision?
They're looking at everything. The Department of Labor has said they're taking a really hard look at UBS's track record. Like, all of those convictions, how serious were they, what actually happened, and has UBS actually taken the steps to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Because anyone can say, we're sorry, right, but how do you prove it?
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words, right? So they're looking at the compliance stuff, but they're also listening to groups like the QPM Coalition. They're taking all sides into account.
It's a tough job. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. But it's not just some theoretical exercise, right? What are the real-world implications here? Let's say you're listening to this right now. You've got your retirement savings. You're invested in the market. What does this all mean for you?
Right. So let's break it down. Say UBS gets the exemption. Everything pretty much stays the same. They keep managing those billions of dollars. Business as usual. You probably won't see much of a difference in your day-to-day life.
Okay. So not much changes. But what if they're denied?
That's where things get interesting. If they're denied, it sends a message, right? Like, you can't just get away with this kind of behavior. Even if you're UBS, it's about accountability.
But what about those potential downsides UBS keeps talking about? Could denying them this exemption actually backfire? Could it hurt investors in the long run?
It's definitely a possibility. We can't rule it out. UBS manages a ton of money, right? And if they're suddenly forced to sell things off, scale back, it could create uncertainty in the market, volatility like we talked about before. And yeah, that could lead to losses for investors, even those who aren't directly invested in UBS.
So it's a real dilemma, a catch-22. Approve the exemption, you might be rewarding bad behavior, but deny it, and you could be risking economic turmoil. There's no clear-cut answer here, is there?
Not at all. And it really just goes to show how complex and interconnected all of this is.
Mm.
We're talking about the integrity of the financial markets,
mm-hmm.
the retirement security of millions of people, and the reputation of one of the biggest financial institutions in the world.
It's a lot. And we've just scratched the surface here, haven't we? We've talked about UBS, this exemption, the convictions. But there's a bigger conversation here, isn't there?
Absolutely. This whole situation really underscores how important transparency and accountability are, especially in the financial industry. People need to be able to trust the institutions that are managing their money. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
Trust.
Trust and accountability. And that's what we're all about here, right? Digging into these complex issues, making sure our listeners have the information they need to make informed decisions. So to everyone listening, we want to hear from you. What do you think? Does UBS deserve a pass on their past? How do you feel about this exemption? Weigh in on social media, send us an email. We want to know what you think. And in the meantime, keep asking those tough questions, and we'll be here to help you find the answers.